Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Thursday, October 21st, 2021. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Week 7 of the NFL. Of the NFL season begins tonight, Thursday night football, the Broncos at the Browns, not the Browns that you saw the Chiefs take on week one at Arrowhead. No Baker Mayfield, no Nick Chubb, no Kareem Hunt. I don't know who's starting on the offensive line.
Broncos.
Whatever. Denver trying to work through the rumors that they are chasing another quarterback, perhaps trading for Tua from Miami. Lots of rumors out there yesterday that there could be a three-team deal involving Deshaun Watson going to the Miami Dolphins and Tua either going to Washington or Denver. I don't know if it's going to happen for a while. It looked like it might happen, but several reports out there that at least the discussions are continuing and something could happen before the trade deadline in a few weeks. And so we'll see. Seems like Teddy Bridgewater isn't the answer to quarterback that the Denver Broncos. Boy, this Vic Fangio could pick quarterbacks, can he? Who's your first choice? Well, we're going to go with Joe Flacco because he lines up under center, and we like that. None of this shotgun crap you're seeing around football, seeing around the NFL. And so he's taking a few stabs at it, and Teddy Bridgewater was brought in to do what Teddy Bridgewater does. And if you can explain that to me, I'd love to hear it. So the Broncos started off 3-0, now they're 3-3. The Browns are 3-3. You need to, if you go to their injury report, you need to scroll it. And that's not a joke. It's that long. I mean, just chock full of stars and starters. So I don't know what to tell you about tonight's game. Cleveland's favored by 2. So I guess it depends on how much you believe. And the Broncos defense is still good. A Case Keenum led Cleveland Browns offense, handing off to who, Jake?
To Ernest Johnson and Demetric Felton?
Sure.
Is that Demetric?
Whatever you
Demetric?
Say.
Yeah. Demetric?
Like we all thought we'd see. So.
Right. Yeah, the tandem, you know, the 1-2 punch that
right.
We always talk about with the Browns. As Kareem Hunt gets put on IR and Nick Chubb ruled out earlier this week.
I kind of feel like taking the Broncos tonight. Taking the Broncos and taking the 2 points.
Yeah, and Odell Beckham's banged up.
I bet, like, who cares? That might help the Browns.
Well.
Like, what has he done?
Nothing. I got him on my favorite team.
What does he do?
I got him on 2 teams.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Good pick, Jake.
That doesn't really move
Adam
the needle
Thielen
for me.
Adam Thielen or ODB?
Big name, that's all he is.
Big paycheck, too.
So Broncos and Browns tonight, week 7 of the NFL kicks off with that showdown, and then we wait for noon on Sunday as the Chiefs travel to Nashville to take on the Tennessee Titans, led by Derrick Henry, who is the best running back in football and is averaging 130 yards a game. And we'll see what the Chiefs have in store for Derrick Henry. Whitney Mercilus will not be part of the solution because he's decided to sign with the Green Bay Packers. That frustrates you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
you enjoy the narrative that, hey, if there's a veteran out there that's available chasing a ring, they will sign with the Kansas City Chiefs. Sounds like Green Bay is the
right
destination of choice right now.
Well, okay.
You don't like it, do you?
I mean, that's two guys that hit the market, and the Packers got both of them.
Yeah, that disappointed me, and both defensively.
Right,
like if it would have been an offensive guy, the Chiefs would have been all over.
Correct.
Oh, hey, another receiver? Oh, you're
do whatever it takes.
You're interested in trading a running back, or could we land Marlon Mack, please? By the way, that ain't over. I mean, remember there were rumors about that. I get it. I love offense, but if you're going to acquire anyone else, Chiefs, could it be a defensive player, please? Could it be someone that gets to the quarterback? That was disappointing. I wanted them to sign Whitney Mercilus. And he flirted with the Chiefs on Twitter, but Twitter sucks, and so there it is. Or at least today, Twitter sucks. Sometimes it doesn't. But that made me mad. So no Whitney Mercilus for the Chiefs defense. Hopefully we'll just see them continue to improve with Juan Thornhill now, the starting safety, Willie Gay increasing his snap count.
Mike Dana playing more?
The Dream. Well, he plays he plays plenty. I'm searching the... I have a dream that maybe Chris Jones and Frank Clark could play together.
That'd be
year.
Nice, right? That'd be a good thing. I think that'd benefit this defense.
But will you ever see it?
Not sure.
And will you see Frank? Which Frank Clark will you see?
I just want to see him. Just the one, the guy that plays for the Chiefs with Chris Jones. How many games do they play together?
I'll guess 10.
No, this season.
Oh, this season.
What? 10?
I don't think they have yet. Not this year.
No. Well, they played plenty in the past. Like this year, how many have they played? Where the hell did you get 10?
10, right.
Oh, no. I thought maybe
Frank two full seasons.
I remember Frank missed some time last year. I don't know.
He played the year before, too.
Yeah, I forgot about that. That's the year they won the Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
It's too early for me. I haven't had my coffee yet. Get
right. Give me a coffee here. They played like 19 games the other year.
Stupid answer.
I don't know. This is confusing me.
It's quick. You're just trying to go quick.
Right. I think the answer this year is 1.
Is it?
I think. Right? Point is, you haven't seen him on the field. I feel like, was it week 2? Yeah. Well.
We'll find that out.
Right. Point is, you haven't seen them on the field enough together. And yeah, I'd like to see Mike Dana and Chris Jones and Frank Clark all together on the same defensive line. That'd be great. And even though Willie Gay came back last week, he didn't play a whole bunch of snaps. So I want to see him get his full complement of snaps, along with Nick Bolton, along with Juan Thornhill. And that's the one thing that I'll tell people. And we're so quick to judge this defense, and we should, because until last week, it's been god-awful. But we haven't seen it yet. We haven't seen the true starting defense, right? Chris Jones hasn't played very much. Frank Clark, and they haven't played together.
Maybe the Baltimore game? Frank Clark played in that one.
Yeah, I think that was it.
It's the only one I've seen. Week 2.
So, I mean, and this is what we haven't seen, okay? We have not seen Frank Clark and Chris Jones healthy together, along with Nick Bolton and Willie Gay healthy together, with Juan Thornhill starting. Right? We haven't seen that yet.
Correct.
And so the one thing that I'll tell people that are so down on the defense, and again, I can't tell you not to be. I mean, you should feel a little bit better after last week. But we haven't seen the defense as it was built, as it was constructed yet on the field together. I mean, there have been many different things, little problems or little issues that by themselves maybe wouldn't cause the defense to be so bad. But then when you add them all, throw Charvarius Ward in there. How many games has he missed? And he's an important player. He's not a superstar, but he's one of the starting corners. He's an important player. And so we haven't seen Juan Thornhill getting the starters reps, along with Charvarius Ward out there, along with Willie Gay getting starters reps, along with Nick Bolton playing his true position, along with Chris Jones and Frank Clark together on the field at the same time. We have not seen that unicorn yet. And so there's every reason to believe when we see all these, and I get it, we talked about the Cleveland Browns, the NFL filled with injury. Very few teams get to put their whole team out there as planned because you deal with injury from week one to the end of the season. But that's a lot for the Chiefs defense to overcome. And they have not done a good job of overcoming it. And what have we said constantly? What have been the thing? Well, when they finally decide to play Thornhill the way they should, that'll improve. Well, when Willie Gay finally gets healthy, that'll improve. Well, when they get back the full complement of corners, that'll improve. Well, when they get Chris Jones and Frank Clark back on the field together, that'll improve. So I'm waiting for it. Will we see it this week? Will we see all of those components together this week come together in Tennessee? And if we do, what do you think the result will be? Is there enough there to suggest, okay, there have been real reasons, and not just trying to dismiss things because, you know, you're a Chiefs homer or you're trying to bury your head in the sand. Have there been enough issues that I've just described that would cause a lack of production or poor performance? And is there enough things now coming together to make you feel at least somewhat optimistic about the defense?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when you say somewhat optimistic, again, I don't think any of us feel like the Chiefs need to be a great defense. They just need to be an average one. And that's what I kept saying earlier in the season is everything that's we've been told over the past 2 years is this is an average defense. And they it's not like they've lost a ton off those defenses, so why can't they be average now? Yeah, I do have some optimism that they can become an average defense. Yes.
I mean, it'd be another thing if they were, you know, I don't know, 90% healthy or and most of the guys were available and they were still sucking. Because, like, then what are you going to do? Like, what are you going to say?
Right.
Then you'd be, then we'd be, boy, they better sign Whitney Merciless. They better bring in some help because what they've got right now ain't getting it done. But we haven't seen, we haven't seen the defense at full strength yet. And I can say, I'm not going to keep beating this dead horse anymore because it's moved on. But I consider when Sorensen's out there playing every snap, the defense not at full strength.
Sure.
That is a defense that is compromised, and we saw that, right?
It's in a compromising position.
Yes. Several.
Getting yourself exposed in vulnerable areas.
Right. And so yesterday, as far as the injury list, Anthony Hitchens did not practice with his tricep. And I like Hitch as much as the next guy, but it ain't going to bother me to see a whole lot of Willie Gay and Nick Bolton together.
You're probably going to see a lot of Ben Neiman, I'm guessing. But I don't know that there's that big of a difference between Anthony Hitchens and Ben Neiman.
But the key there is I want to see Willie Gay and Nick Bolton on the field together.
Sure.
A lot. Because what, I mean, how many snaps did Willie Gay have last week? I know they're working his way back in, but
18, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I mean, he was under 50%. So even though he was back, we didn't see him as much as we want to. And Andy Reid talked about that yesterday and said that, you know, they're getting him there. And that's exciting to see.
Who wears the green dot? Neiman had the green dot on last game.
Well,
right?
Andy Reid was not very forthcoming in answering that question yesterday. Did you hear him answer that?
No, that's surprising.
He just kind of find that one. Well, we're gonna. He didn't want to answer it.
Well, we'll see how it goes.
I say Nick Bolton, but
yeah,
you know, but
lots to put on rookie. He's a smart one.
We're gonna do some things, and then we're gonna you know, it was like he was thinking his mind. I in no way want to answer this question. I'm not going to answer this question, so I'm going to say an assortment of words that you could take as an answer, and then I'm going to move on having given you zero information about that. So Andy Reid's not interested in you knowing that. So good question, but there's no answer for you. I hope that doesn't disappoint you. Does it surprise you that Andy wasn't ready to spill the beans about,
brand right there.
About that one? Chris Jones, Tyrann Mathieu, Charvarius Ward, those guys all listed as limited participants. Tyrann Mathieu with a thumb slash toe. You remember when he was having at it with Josh Briscoe on Twitter? He said he had a broken thumb, and that's why he was unable to wrap up on his attempted sack. And so yesterday he was seen on the practice field with what was described as heavy padding on his hand. So there's a thumb injury there. And so that's got to be a concern. But he's listed as a limited participant. And I will say something else, too, because I don't think we've mentioned him enough on this show. Charvarius Ward's been out. I have been very impressed with Rashad Fenton. And I see him as an ascending player, and he excites me.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I've been very happy with what I've seen from Rashad Fenton. Let's listen to what Andy Reid said. This is about the plan without Anthony Hitchens.
All three of them will be in there going, so at different spots. Spags got a lot of different personnel groups in there, but you know, all three of them can make the calls they need.
And Andy, who did have the call responsibility when Anthony went out on Sunday's game?
They kind of mix that up. They, you know, between, I mean, they mix it up. You know, that's the best I can say.
Yeah, we kind of mix that up between we kind of
best I can
mix that up is best I can say.
I'm not gonna name any names.
Settle the question for you? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, they mix it up.
It answers my question that's a question for Spags.
Right. mix it up.
That's Spags.
Mix.
He knows.
Kind of.
I don't. Full autonomy for Spags.
They got to go. Yep. Next question. Time's yours.
New phone. Who's this?
Right. I feel like Spags will elaborate. Andy,
he might.
Andy not interested. That's fine. Andy doesn't have to elaborate. We'll take a break. We'll elaborate after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB and 38 The Spot.
Hey, everybody. Joe Spiker, owner of Easton Roofing here. For almost 10 years, we've been a locally owned and operated family business. At Easton, we work on every job with one thing in mind. Integrity matters. I grew up in Central Kansas, was raised on the values of respecting hard work. At Easton, we always make decisions based on the ethical, right thing for the customer. That's what integrity means to us. So if you have any questions about your roof, give me and my team a call. 913-257-5426. Easton Roofing. Integrity matters.
Lebo, I didn't see some of your peanuts.
Your what?
Boy, I was that. Yeah. I forgot.
That sounds like
I keep forgetting my oatmeal. So I stole one of Phil's protein bars, and I'm eating some of Todd's peanuts. So, Dad, have you seen my protein bars? No. Where were they? I haven't. You know, I bought them anyway, so I could eat them. You were at Big 12 Media Day, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah, I got a
college basketball getting fired up.
Somebody sent me a picture of you down there, and I returned with a some colorful emojis. You saw that, didn't you, Jake? We were on that.
Who's that? Did Booger send you a picture?
I don't know who did.
Got people spying on me down there.
You call him Booger. That's your boss. You call him Chad or Mr. Booger.
Mr. Booger?
There you go. You just say
that's
Chad.
Right, that's what I was calling Mr. Booger.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Why do you say he sent you a picture? Or
well, because he was my camera guy yesterday.
Wow.
He went down there, and he was helping me film all kinds of interviews with players and coaches and
well,
stuff.
Well, how was it? What'd you do? Let's hear it.
Yeah, I talked to Ochai Agbaji and David McCormick, talked to Mike McGurl from K-State, talked to a couple guys from Baylor.
National champion
Baylor, and nobody there talking to their players. They had all the players set up. The way they did it this year, they had like just these rows on the court
And where was it?
At T-Mobile Arena. And it was down on the court, and they had two players from each team set up on a little mini stage that was kind of like you had to stand like 6 feet away, and people could kind of shout questions at them from there. I didn't have to shout, but, you know, speak loudly. And, of course, there's a bunch of people gathered around the KU guys. There's a few people gathered around the K-State guys. And then there was a lot of guys just kind of sitting there. And the two Baylor guys were sitting there. And so Chaz and Chaz, we should go talk. They won the national championship last year, right? We went over to talk to them. They said, a lot of guys over there talking to people from Kansas. So there was a little chip on the shoulder there.
Wow.
But I did have a chance to talk with Bill Self. He's the head coach at Kansas. And this was right after they took the Big 12 coaches photo, which was kind of a fun thing to watch, like seeing them all line up and get ready to stand together and take.
Bruce Weber had purple shoes on.
He did.
Sweet.
Mike McGurl had a pair of Nike Jordan 1s that were purple and black and white.
The best shoes I saw were Scott Drew.
I don't remember which one Scott Drew had on.
Yes, sir.
Is Caleb Porter the coach at Oklahoma now? Isn't that his name?
Who?
He had on some Jordan 1s. Mike Boynton had some Jordan 1s on, like orange and black ones from Oklahoma State. But I don't remember what. Bill Self had more like dress shoes on.
Name the coach at Texas Tech.
I saw him. He stuck out
like a sore thumb. It was almost like, why is that SID in the picture with them? Why is someone's dad in the picture with them? Why is an administrator in the picture with them? Did you see the team? Coach's picture?
I saw. I didn't zoom in on him.
Yeah, well, I saw him standing there, and I was like, first of all, I don't know who the guy is.
But I saw like, who the hell is that? Like, oh, that's right. Beard went to Texas. You got to reacclimate yourself with things.
It must be the guy
that took over Texas Tech. He was the assistant under
Mark Adams.
Beard there at Texas Tech. Well, yeah. Do you know that?
I know very little about that.
It was weird seeing that because, when we were watching them all line up, all of a sudden Chris Beard was there, and he was, like, dressed in black from head to toe. I don't know if he had any kind of thing on that would indicate that he was the coach at Texas as opposed to somewhere else. And it maybe was because, like, hey, we're Texas and we're at the Big 12 tournament, so maybe.
Look at this. You got all, you know who everyone is, pretty much. You know, there's Bruce, there's Scott Drew, there's Bill Self, there's Bob Huggins. Like, who's this guy? How'd he sneak in there? Did you know that was the coach of Texas Tech?
No.
Is that? He looks happy.
He's like a nice guy.
Pleasant man. So. Well, that Iowa State coach doesn't look like he wants any part of that picture.
No, but look at how far, like, I swear Chris Beard's standing like a foot away from everybody else. I guess he did have a longhorn.
Right,
okay,
there.
He did have a longhorn on there. But like, if you zoom out a little bit, look at how.
Hold on, look at Scott Drew's shoes.
Oh yeah, he has green. Yeah,
those are the best shoes right there.
Nice. Look at Porter's right behind him. I'm a sneaker guy though.
Yeah, I don't care what. I have no idea what you said, by the way. So I don't know.
Jordan 1s.
Oh.
As opposed to the Jordan 2s?
Yeah, I don't know.
Which ones
with like the black vinyl around the white, like the base? Those are the only ones I ever
those
liked.
Those are 12s.
That's the only ones I've ever liked.
I wear Adidas and I wear Saucony, so I don't know. Adidas 1s and Saucony 4s.
I buy what?
Jordan 11s.
Whatever
maybe.
Doesn't have shoelaces.
I like the 11s, right. What are you talking about?
I buy shoes that I don't have to tie.
Yeah.
That's what I do now.
Yep, me too, man.
Because I don't want to.
Right.
And it's quicker
and
in the
so
morning.
Many cool shoes that don't have shoelaces.
Right. Here we go. Okay. I don't tie those at all. I just slip those on. All right? There. Those are my Adidas 5s.
Oh, those are the 5s?
Those, I think those are my fifth pair of Adidas I've purchased. But look, what are those? I mean, I just like...
There's some kind of leather shoe.
Green, but look, Bruce got purple. What's wrong with that?
Nothing's wrong with that.
Bruce is looking like good. He's looking slick with them purple shoes.
Yep.
Who'd you talk to? Let's hear something.
We didn't talk shoes. Although Chad Boger did catch me talking shoes with Mike McGurl.
Oh, I know. I got the picture.
Oh, that's the picture.
And I sent him a good emoji, too.
I did not edit this interview.
Oh, yeah. We'll just play it. So we started recording. I think Chad started recording the video.
Started recording the video. Right.
We posted on social media.
What are those
media
Chris Beard's wearing?
I don't know.
Sneakerhead? Come on.
I don't know. Some kind of Nike.
You'll hear a different voice than this, and it's is Bob Huggins.
Oh, yeah, there's a cameo from Bob Huggins.
So let's play that.
Where's Bill Selschuk? What are those?
Those look like some sort of brown.
What are those?
Cole Hans.
Some nice brown, some smart Cole Hans. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Go ahead, Jake.
Here we go. Nate yesterday down at Media Days with Bill Self.
You're filming it?
Yeah. So you have to look really nice like you like me.
Yeah. How you been, man? You
great. Yeah, it's been good. Good to see you.
I've been talking for 3 hours. 3 hours!
All right, Coach, how good is it just to be back here, considering everything that everybody's been through the past year and all that?
Well, I think it's great that there at least is some normalcy about it. Of course, you're wearing a mask right now, and I'm not, so that's probably stuff that we'll probably go through for, I would think, the majority of the year. But it is great to have people back where we can actually be around each other. It'd be great to have fans back in the stands. And certainly our guys are looking forward to experiencing, I'm sure everybody else is too, experiencing what they went to college to experience. And certainly they haven't had an opportunity to do that in about 18 months.
Remember, a lot of times last year you talked about the difficulty of not being able to spend time together as a team because of all the restrictions. And Ochai was talking about that with us, about the importance of the chemistry in the offseason. With all the new faces you have, is that even more important than it would be in a normal year to be able to do that again?
I think so. You know, I don't know exactly in what context Oates put it, but really last year it seemed like to me I was around the players more and they were around each other more because there was nobody else that they could be around or that we could be around. So I don't think that was necessarily it last year. What I thought was so hard last year is, you have a hard practice, or you play a road game, and you get beat. You get back at 3 a.m. and you're going to have breakfast with the same guys you just spent the weekend with, and then you're going to go to practice with the same guys you just had breakfast with, and then you're going to come back and go to dinner with the same guys you just had practice with, and then you're going to go to study hall with the same guys you just had dinner with. It really, I don't think was a positive thing from a morale standpoint. But this year, our guys seem to like each other. Of course, you say that all the time, but I think they actually do like each other and care about each other, at least so far, and our thoughts are pretty unselfish. So I think that this will be a fun team for me to be around, but also a fun team for them to spend time with each other.
Do you have to approach it any differently this offseason when you do have so many new guys? And is that going to change just going forward the way college basketball is?
I think that we should approach it a little differently. I think more time together, terminology, getting guys to understand what you want, what our culture is, what we believe in, things like that that maybe we take for granted sometimes. But when you have 8 newcomers and you only have, 4 or 5 vets returning, I think sometimes it can kind of get lost on this is who we are and this is how we do things. And so our vets have been great, but our newcomers want to learn and they want to know, and they've been great. But I really think it's too early, premature to probably really get a feel for our chemistry, even though it seems like it'll be good. But I'll reserve comment on that till I can actually see some real bullets fly.
Last thing for you then, you always start off with a big game, it seems like, right off the bat.
Well, Champions Classic.
That's no different this year. How do you like that, especially with all the new guys you have? Is it you got to get things ramped up a little quicker?
Yeah, I think that I don't know that you get it ramped up quicker. One thing about playing a big game early is it puts pressure on you to be prepared for the big game early. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think it's good with the veteran team coming back. I don't know that it's great with a bunch of newcomers, but we'll approach it the exact same way. The thing about it is, in basketball, which is so different than football, in that as important as the first game is, it's a blip on the radar in the big scheme of things. I mean, we've gone to the national championship game and got our butts handed to us in the Champions Classic. And we've looked great in the Champions Classic and didn't have that great a year. I mean, it means something, but its value is more being a part of the first big basketball event where all eyes are on you, and the fact that you will be exposed to what you don't do well, more than likely, and that can really do wonders to make a team be as good as it can be.
Texas. Coach, thanks a lot for the time. Be fun.
You bet.
All right.
That was Nate Ducati with Bill Self back after this on WHB.
90 seconds.
That was on the air.
Huh?
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. No, Hot Mike with SSJ is
that was yesterday, buddy.
Podcast you can download. Download Hot Mike with SSJ wherever you download your favorite podcast. You can also watch it.
Be careful.
Like and subscribe on Facebook.
Make sure no children are around.
Well, it's not safe for work. It's mature content. And now 4 episodes are in the books of Hot Mike with SSJ. As you see, Nate Ducati is wearing some unique clothing today. Tell us what you're celebrating.
I just wanted to be festive today and welcome the FIFA World Cup delegation to our fair city.
Welcome.
Welcome, FIFA. I'm sure they're watching this morning from their hotel room downtown as they get ready for their big site visit today. So I just want, we want them to know how passionate we are about sports in Kansas City and that we deserve the World Cup. So on Tuesday, we interviewed Chad Reynolds. Jake, your buddies with Chad Reynolds. You know Chad well.
Yeah, CR.
He is a really, really good guy. And he is the creative director for Sporting Kansas City. He's been there for 16 years. All their creative stuff, he has something to do with. He's spent the last couple of months basically exclusively with a bunch of other people working on planning out today, minute by minute, for the FIFA World Cup delegation that's here. So we interviewed him on the Sporting Kansas City show. I'm going to play one little clip for you here just to kind of explain. People might wonder, okay, so what are these guys going to do all day? He said around 35 people from FIFA, from different areas, the people that are going to figure out, hey, what's the FanFest site going to look like? What's the stadium going to look like? What do the facilities look like? All those types of things, and they're going to go into different places. So here Chad Reynolds kind of explains a little bit about where all those different people will be headed today.
So it's really cool. They actually set up – they've been doing this now. They've already done, I think, 8 or 9 site visits, and then we are the first stop on their next set of site visits after they did the East Coast. Now they're kind of doing the Midwest and then moving – you know, they're moving their way west across the country. It's pretty set. Like, there's a group that comes in and goes immediately, you know, they have like the morning breakfast meeting where they all get together and talk, and then they kind of split. There's a group that goes to look at the FanFest sites. There's a group that specifically goes and drives to every training site in our bid. And I want to say we've got 7 or 8 training different sites potentially in the bid. There's a group that goes to the stadium to look at the nuts and bolts operational stuff. And then there's a group that meets with the city, and that's where there's kind of a big pitch meeting and those kinds of things. And they, you know, they get to talk to the sports commission, Kathy Nelson and Catherine Fox. Catherine Fox is the executive director of the World Cup bid. Kathy Nelson is the president and CEO of the sports commission. They get to talk to those people, the mayor, you know, the dignitaries from the Chiefs, dignitaries from Sporting Kansas City, a lot of people there to answer a lot of different questions. And that's where the main kind of pitch happens, where they talk about the city and then they get into the details. And then they go and they tour the stadium and they get to see Arrowhead Stadium, you know, configured as much as it possibly can be for what it would look like during World Cup matches here in Kansas City. And that's a really, really cool part of this as well, is if you go and look at some of the press that's been done from the other cities, that's the big moment of, you know, them walking on the field and looking at what this stadium where we could potentially be playing soccer in front of the whole world. So that's a cool moment we're excited about here in Kansas City.
One of the things that Chad Reynolds...
Sepp Blatter here, buddy.
He's not there at FIFA anymore.
He might be in prison.
Be there. Yeah.
Is he here?
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I can't tell you that for sure, but I'd be surprised.
Okay.
One of the things he said, there's a million things they're selling about Kansas City, but the passion of Kansas City as a sports city in general, and the opportunity for the first time ever to play a World Cup game in the loudest stadium in the world. Because the loudest soccer stadium in the world is Galatasaray in Turkey, and they've never played a World Cup game there. And if they play a game at Arrowhead Stadium, the World Cup, it'd be the loudest stadium in the world they'd ever played a soccer game in. That's kind of cool. They're throwing a bunch of stuff out there like that. It's going to be a big day.
Nobody asked me. Nobody listens to me. But if they want to get this thing done, You have to meet with X Factor.
Right, make sure he doesn't go to any of the games?
No.
Okay!
He was responsible for the Guinness World's Record.
Oh, he was?
Yes.
Not okay!
CBS seems to think he's the number one representative of Kansas City, considering they I believe Jake planted that seed, and they showed him no less than five times every broadcast.
Right.
So
no,
what are they going to do now?
No.
Well, he did say, I think, that he's responsible for uniting a fan base, right?
Yes.
Maybe he can unite this city behind this World Cup bid.
The man who brought a divided fan base together with two Guinness World Records for loudest stadium in the world. Why wouldn't you not? Why would you not want him to?
That's true. Let's get it.
Speak on your behalf.
Maybe they could take him down to the hospital. Take like the FIFA delegation down to the hospital to. Hey, here's X Factor. What happened to all his teeth? Don't worry about that.
His rib.
And his ribs. Don't worry about that either.
Some ribs.
This man has sacrificed all of his body and mind for sports in Kansas City. That's how much of passion
a lot of
runs
ideas
deep in this town.
If anybody would just ask me on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Coming up on the show, we'll talk to Buster Olney from ESPN at 7 o'clock. Adam Kaplan, our NFL insider at 7:30. Gary Lezak gives you the forecast just before 8 o'clock. Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com will be with us in the 8 o'clock hour. Dion Clisso will preview the weekend in high school football at 9:30. And right now, you will listen to the new single from Jack White on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for watching us on 38 The Spot. Buster Olney, Adam Kaplan, Gary Lezak, Jeff Chedia, Dion Clisso, Nate Bucati down at Big 12 Media Days yesterday has some more interviews for you to hear. And also, we want the World Cup. All that and more right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.